Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 39, a familiar passage, one of Joseph's temptations, and just a good example to look at. I want to talk to you tonight about victory over temptation. And this passage, of course, one of the temptations in the life of Joseph, I know, because he's like every other person. He was tempted in many ways, as we are, but this is one example. We do have other examples. God blessed Joseph in a great way and used him in a great way, though Joseph certainly had opportunity to be bitter, discouraged, do all kinds of things. He did right, and he ended up making the right choices, and God blessed him in a great, great way. Genesis 39, verse 7, let's go ahead and read this whole passage. Well, most of it anyway. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight and help us to recognize someone who had a victory over temptation, and I thank you that we can have victory. And I thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that we can overcome the world, we can overcome temptations, we can do right. And so I pray you'll help us to do right and just cause us to pay close attention tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If we were to go around and do a little survey and ask how many of you have ever been tempted, I think that would be kind of a simple answer. Most would say, well, yes, I've been tempted, and I've been tempted today, and I was tempted yesterday and the day before, and tempted many times throughout the day. And certainly Satan is the tempter, and he does try to get us to sin. And there are many, many things that pull on us. I mean, I think he has a pretty good extensive record of how we've fallen in the past and what our temptations are. And that which may be a temptation to one perhaps isn't a temptation to someone else. That which others have fallen to, you may say, I don't know why they would give in to that. Well, they would give in to that the same reason why you gave in to the temptation you did. I mean, if we are truly tempted, it is something that we would want to do or something that we're supposed to do that we wouldn't do. And a true temptation is something that is sinful that we want to do and that we would like to do. And so, you know, here in this passage, I've always referred to this as the perfect temptation. It is the temptation where really Joseph could have gotten away with this thing probably, and maybe even it would have moved him up as far as, you know, he would have maybe gotten some favors and some other things out of that. But he recognized that there was something more important involved, and certainly we know the story. We know how it ends. He ends up being very, very blessed of God. It's amazing how we forget the blessings of God. How quick when we're tempted do we forget there is a God in heaven and a God that we need him and we need his help and we need his blessings. And again, Joseph, of course, kept sight on that, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But, you know, you think about Joseph. He was sold by his brothers to the Midianites. You know, and what a terrible thing. You know, all of a sudden now he's led away as a slave. He's sold to the Midianites by his own brothers. And then he is sold by the Midianites to Potiphar, an Egyptian. And it looks like Joseph may never see his family again. And, of course, the brothers go back and lie to their father and all of that. And Joseph could have become discouraged. He could have become bitter. And by the way, those things were temptations too. Discouragement is a temptation. Bitterness is a temptation. The desire to quit is a temptation. But I believe Joseph, he just kept loving God and walking with God. And he just kept close to God, as we see in this passage. And instead of bitterness and instead of discouragement, the Bible says he found favor with Potiphar and went to work in Potiphar's house. And of course, it was in Potiphar's house that, you know, as Joseph became stronger there and had more responsibilities, Potiphar's wife noticed him and being wicked and obviously having a wicked heart. His wife, Potiphar's wife, suggested an adulterous relationship with Joseph. And, you know, again, here's you know, I assume that maybe she was attractive. They were alone. Maybe she could have done him some favors and helped him out had he gone along with this thing and nobody would know and obviously just like what happened, he could get in trouble if he didn't give in. There were many things that were pulling on Joseph to get him to sin. It was a temptation. And by the way, like most temptations, there are lots of things that pull on us. There are lots of things. It's just like you're doing your taxes now, and the temptation to just change that one number right there. Nobody's ever going to know, you know. And there's all kinds of reasons, and we can justify all of that. But Joseph overcomes. He has victory over this temptation, and I believe it's because of several things that we see in this passage. Understand this. There was no reason for him to say no, except for the fact of his relationship with his God. I mean, there was no other, and obviously his relationship with Potiphar. But other than that, I mean, in the world today, and by the way, adultery takes place all the time. I mean, it is happening everywhere, and we're not going to necessarily address that issue. But the point is, the thing is, he was able to have victory over this temptation, and we all face temptation. And I believe if we'll look at his life, we will be able to understand this. He still got in big trouble because she lied, and rather than and obviously she would lie. Rather than tell her husband the truth that she suggested adultery and this man had the character to run away, she lied and said that he tried to commit adultery with her and that he was the one that was guilty, and, you know, Potiphar put him in prison. You say, boy, that's what a terrible price to pay. But God blessed him because he did right. And folks, it's always right to do right. It's always right, and it's always the best thing to do. You say, well, look, he had to go to prison. But look what God does with his life. Look what God does with his life. You know, Joseph was able, by the way, go to Proverbs 7 before we get into the outline here. Look at Proverbs 7. This is a common temptation, and it's one that God has given all these verses to in Proverbs chapter 7 to warn the young man, it says. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house, now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Understand, this woman was not a harlot. She was in the attire of a harlot because she was acting like a harlot. Hello? And the Bible says, "So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. Same thing. Well, my husband's not home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. And here's a temptation that is a common temptation. It is a real temptation. It is a temptation that has taken people down, and any temptation is designed to take you down. Any temptation is designed to put a dart through your liver. Any temptation is designed to put you as the bird in the snare, to put us in a trap, to cause us discomfort, and to cause us eventually not to do the will of God or to be punished by our God or to break fellowship with our God. I want to show you some things about Joseph in his victory over temptation. Now, I'm serious. It'll help you to get a victory over temptation in your own life. The first thing I see here is his conscience. His conscience. And it's so important when we have the right things in our heart and in our mind. We talked this morning about this, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and having the Word of God in our heart. And nothing will feed our conscience more than having the Word of God and Scripture that keeps us in check when temptation comes. I mean, isn't it amazing when that voice of hell says, here's what you need to do, and pulls on us to do wrong. Isn't it wonderful when the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, reminds us of verses and reminds us of Bible that will help us to get out of that temptation? Truth of the matter is, if you ask people that commit adultery and then have the aftermath and all the pain and all the sorrow and everything that takes place. Ask David if you got a chance in the Old Testament time. And David, who committed that awful sin with Bathsheba, ask him if it was worth it. But you know, again, it doesn't. It never comes to us of whether it's going to be worth it or not. It's a temptation. It's a temptation to steal, a temptation to lie, a temptation to watch, a temptation to listen, a temptation to go. It's a temptation. And if it wasn't something we wanted to do, it wouldn't be a temptation. If it wasn't something that appeals to our flesh, it wouldn't be a temptation. But notice his conscience. Boy, what a good thing. What a good thing we have a conscience. What a good thing that a Christian has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him. What a good thing. His conscience. Notice, first thing that we notice here is when she comes, the Bible says, verse 8, he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, he knew it was great wickedness because he knew God's word. He knew that adultery was wrong. He knew this was sin because he knew God's word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Why, you know, hide the word of God in your heart. You say, you know, I just keep giving in to temptation. Okay, get the word of God in your heart. That's what happened. You know, Joseph immediately, immediately he puts up a wall of defense and says, wait a minute. God says this is wickedness. I don't want anything to do with it. It's wickedness. How did he know? He knew that because he knew God's word. You know, we ought to prepare for temptation. We ought to prepare for the devil's attack. We ought to prepare. And again, let me remind you of this. It will not be a temptation unless it's really something that your flesh wants to do. Keep that in mind. You know, we are so, sometimes we can act like this guy in Proverbs, you know, like the ox to the slaughter. And what's that? It's kind of dumb. You know, the ox to the slaughter. Hey, boy, we're going somewhere. This ought to be fun. No, you're going to die. you're going to become somebody's T-bone steak. I mean, the ox of the slaughter, he's just having a good old time, you know. And everybody's looking at him like, oh, we love you. Yeah, they love him being on their plate. But the ox to the slaughter is very foolish, and we should be smart and we should be wise, knowing that a temptation is going to be something we like. You ought to get prepared. You ought to be ready. Like I say, some of the things that may tempt Kathy Morin, those might not be a temptation to me. Those things that may tempt Brother Caleb, those things may not be a temptation to me. Brother Hawkins will have some temptations that I'd say, Brother Hawkins, I don't understand what your problem is. But it, individually, if you're tempted in an area, it's going to be something you might give in on. It's going to be something that you might, you will sin on. And more than likely, it's going to be something that you faced before. You know, the enemy knows the weak wall. The enemy knows the area that is most prone to attack. And that's what's going to happen. Joseph was prepared because he had the word of God in his heart, his conscience. Immediately, as soon as she maybe even started blinking her little eyes and fluttering her eyelashes at him, he realized, hey, wait a minute now. God says this is wicked. Oh, Joseph, you're just such a hunk. God says this is wicked. It's wicked. Oh, but it feels so good. It's wicked. You look, you better have your defense ready, for it's wicked. Yeah, but I like it, but it's wicked. A lot of things we like are wicked, and they're going to hurt us. A dart to your liver. A bird in a snare. The ox to the slaughter. We need to know what's wicked. And there's only one way to know what's wicked, and that's to know the Word of God. Pay attention in church. Pay attention to your Bible reading and learn it. He had his conscience helped him to have victory over temptation. His, you know, think about this. Notice what he says here about Potiphar. He said, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He trusts me. My master trusts me. I mean, this man trusts me. Hey, dads, before you go to that site on the internet, you got a wife and you have children. They trust you. Think about it. Next time you get on that internet, think about it. Get that etched into your heart and into your mind. There's people that trust me. People in church trust me. They would be totally shocked if they knew what my eyes are looking at. They trust me. Hey, my Sunday school class, they trust me. My bus kids, they trust me. They trust me. Somebody is trusting me. I can't let them down. Are you listening to me? Again, I'm helping. I'm telling you, build that wall up. Because, you know, the blinking eyelids, they're going to come. I should say the fluttering eyelid, shouldn't I? Fluttering eyelashes, whatever it is. I don't know. There's people who trust you, and they trust in you. You ought to make a list. How many people trust in you? How many people it matters to you? And how many people are looking up to you? That's one of the things, you know, as our young people become, they get older, and we use that all the time, talk about it in chapel. Hey, the younger kids are looking up to you. Well, I don't want them to. Well, they are. You know, you better face it. They are looking up to you. And get that in your heart and in your mind, because Satan's going to come with some temptation. And one of the great things you can do is as Joseph did here. First of all, he said it's wicked. God's word says it's wicked. But then immediately said, your husband trusts me. He has entrusted everything in the house to me. There's people who count on you. There's people who love you. That's what Joseph's saying here. He's saying there's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me. I mean, Joseph obviously handled the finances. He handled so many things in the house. He said, there's no way in the world I could do this. Did he want to do it? Well, I'm sure his flesh did. I'm sure his flesh wanted to. But he knew, hey, God says it's wicked, and Potiphar, trust me. Do you know, we have a responsibility to people around us. We have a responsibility to our loved ones. We have a responsibility to those who are under us in a class or in a workplace or whatever it might be. We have a responsibility to the lost. Amen. We have a responsibility to unsaved people. I know you say, well, I want to do whatever I want to do. I understand. But the truth of the matter is, I'm trying to save your liver from the dart. I'm trying to save you from the slaughterhouse. That's the whole point. God's trying to tell us and show us. That's called our conscience. Those things ought to be there. You ought to make a list of how many people look up to you, how many people trust you, how many people are counting on you. And the next time you have some temptation that is gonna offend them, if they knew about it, you know, think about that list. Pull that list out. Not a bad idea. His conscience. He also, you know, I think with his conscience, I'm sure he thought back to other times when he did disobey God and God had to deal with him. Chastening. I know as a kid, I remember weighing out different things as far as, okay, if I get caught doing this, Dad's going to paddle me. That's why, to be honest with you, timeouts. You know, there's times I wish I had a timeout. Not during a game. But I'm serious, you know. All right, you've done wrong. Timeout. What's that mean? Well, you just got to go sit in the timeout spot. Really? Can I lay down? Sure. Really? Can I have my pillow? Sure. Blankie? Sure. Perfect. Nap time. But you know, Dad's timeout? I didn't want that. And you know, I'll be honest with you, one thing that will help you so much, come on, the devil burns us every time. You know, you've had your liver poked with a dart. Amen. Everybody has. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You have been in that bird trap. Right? Sure, we all have. And at every time, temptation, do wrong. Devil laughs, accuses, paddle every time. Not just God's chastening, but then you have the sowing and reaping. That law is always there. Always. And it's just no fun. Don't forget it. That's that conscience. I don't know, Joseph, you know, we don't necessarily know that. I just know in my own life that my conscience many times will remind me, you know, I don't want the dart in the liver. I don't want the paddle. I don't want God's chastening. I want God's blessing. I often wonder if David wasn't tempted again after his adultery with Bathsheba. And as the temptation was going on, immediately he saw Tamar, his daughter who was raped. And maybe he saw Amnon who was murdered, and Absalom who died. And he said, you know what, it isn't worth it. It's a good wall to build up for you to have a victory over temptation. His conscience. And by the way, how about realizing we really can be victorious over temptation? You know, some folks get in a habit of just giving in to every temptation. And that's when you get in the most trouble. But we are the winners. Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to give in. You don't have to do that. 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows how. And you know, you say, but you don't understand. I mean, if I wasn't tempted, I would be okay. But if you wouldn't give in to the temptation, you'd be okay too. you'd be okay. God does know how to deliver us out of temptation, but we've got to make some effort ourselves. And if you and I would arm our conscience, that which we, because we know, I mean, as soon as some of this stuff happens, some of you, I'm serious, there's folks in this room, you go to work, and these guys, some of you ladies, these guys will say something to you, or you fellas, some of these women, they'll say something, and there's a little flirting going on. Hey, you are headed for trouble, and you're headed for exactly what the devil wants for you. You need to be ready. I'm not even going to entertain this stuff. Well, it kind of makes me feel good that someone... No, it should make you feel dirty that you'd even think that. Let me tell you, buddy, you just go love your wife. You put all your effort into loving your wife, and the sweet little thing at work, if she knows you love your wife, she'll leave you alone. Hello? But you know how she doesn't? Because you open up. Well, my wife doesn't understand me. It's because you're a jerk. Hello? Oh, anytime, I don't care who you are, these guys at council with other women, what is wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong. You're begging. Okay, target's on my liver. Get the darts ready. Here's my liver. That's what you're asking for. Huh? Hey, where's the bird cage? I'm ready. Or you're like the ox to the slaughter. Oh boy, we're going to a party. Yeah, you're going to a party, Mr. Ox. His conscience. Hey, get the Word of God in your heart. Be ready. Because I'll be honest with anyone that has any access to the internet, unless you have super duper Christian filtering system that slows your computer down, kind of like ours. I mean, ours, every time I go to a site, this little doohickeys thing goes, I don't know what it is, but it moves. And it's looking. What do you call it? It's thinking. No, it's searching. What is it? It's thinking. That bothers me. Machines think. But anyway, it's looking over everything to make sure whatever it is I'm going to is okay. Now, I'm glad it does that, but it does slow things down. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have that and you have any access, email, Q-mail, T-mail, any kind of mail that's coming over electronic stuff where they can send you anything they want to send you, you better be ready. You had better be ready. You felt, I'm serious about this thing. It is as scary as it can be. Number two, I got to keep moving. All right, first we have his conscience. Now notice this. Number two, his companion. He wasn't alone. Amen. He wasn't alone. You better not be alone either. Well, you said he was alone. Well, he was alone as far as humans are, but he wasn't alone. Huh? No, notice verse 2 of chapter 39. I love this. This is after he was brought down to Egypt, Potiphar. He went to work for Potiphar. He's been sold by the Ishmaelites, and anyway, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. See that? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Oh, that's so good. That is so good. And this is after a terrible, terrible thing. But I like what it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, his companion. He wasn't alone anytime. Oh, his brothers threw him in a pit. Yeah, he wasn't alone in the pit. Well, his brothers sold him as a slave. He wasn't alone as a slave. Well, he's working for Potiphar now. He's not alone with Potiphar. And as soon as she started to wink, flutter, whatever, as soon as she started, he said, Lord, did you see that? She's wicked. Why? Because he had a companion. I'll be honest. If you really believed God was there with you, you would not do a lot of the things you do. Let me say this, we would not do a lot of the things we do. Let me say this, we would not think a lot of the things we think if we really believed God could see it. He can. Could you imagine just this past week, if we just took everybody and we flashed up on the screen there just our past week of our thoughts? Ugh. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Many would all of a sudden develop a sickness and have to go home. Well, if I'm not there, maybe it won't show. He sees it. He knows it. He's there. Now, if you'll believe it, it'll help you a lot with temptation. It'll help you a lot. Hey, look what he says immediately. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it's like God's right there by him. Hey, woman, don't you see him? I'm making God kind of short, aren't I? Don't you see him? There he is. What are you talking about? Can you imagine? She might have said, well, God's not here. What's wrong with you? We're alone. No, tell her, God. Slap her in the head. You're there, God. His companion. I believe Joseph, he believed that with all his heart. Why? Because he knew God was with him. See, we like God's comfort, don't we? And when Joseph was sold by his brethren, it was as if no one cared, but God was there giving him comfort. Oh, you're in the hospital. You sure love God's comfort. You're at the graveside of someone you love. You really, really appreciate God's comfort. Your finances are bad and God takes care of a need and you really appreciate God's comfort. Why all of a sudden when we want to do our own thing, why all of a sudden do we forget that he's still beside us? Oh, God, I'm so glad you were with me when I was in that pit. And God, I'm sure glad you were with me when I was sold by my brothers. And God, I'm sure glad you were with me to get this position with Potiphar. He's a good man. Well, I think with Joseph, it just kept going. God, you're with me today. God, you got to help me do this job. God, I need your help to balance this man's books and help and work with his finances. Joseph realized he wasn't going to get away with anything. He would, as far as men were concerned, but he knew God was right there, his companion. Hey, who's with you all day long? Who's with you all day? Do you open up your Bible in the morning and maybe read a couple passages and talk to the Lord for a few minutes and then say, well, Lord, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Or do you say, well, Lord, come along with me. I need you because I needed you last night when I cried myself to sleep. And God, I needed you last week when they laid me off. And Lord, I needed you when I was in trouble with that one situation. And God, I needed you when I went to the doctor and the doctor said that I had this problem. And God, I needed you. Why don't we just need him all the time? Because we do. His companion. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, times have changed so much. We've cheapened holiness. We really have. We've bought into religion. You know, so many things are against God. Immorality is against God, and stealing is against God, and lying is against God, and cheating is against God, and gossip is against God, and rebellion is against God, and cussing is against God, and drunkenness is against God, and disobedience and wicked thoughts, and those things are against God. Hating your brother is against God. All these things. You know, Joseph, he knew the word of God. He knew it was wickedness, but he also knew, hey, this is going to offend my companion. This will offend my companion. Hey, you know, have you ever thought of that with some of the TV shows you watch? Would that offend your companion? Oh, God, no, I'm not talking to him now. I talked to him this morning. Would that offend your companion? Would the conversation that's going on, right, would that offend your companion? As you rip to shreds one of God's people that God sent his son to die for, do you think that might offend your companion? Because that's exactly what Joe... Whoa, wait a minute, woman. Don't offend my companion. Don't even suggest such a thing. Amen. Do you know that if this sin would have been against God, my sin is against God too? Isn't it amazing how we're more afraid of people seeing us than we ever consider what God sees? Did you know God doesn't have to look at the history on your computer? Your companion. David said, "Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Many people are hurt when we give in to temptation. Many people are affected when we give in to temptation. But I believe God is affected more than any of them. That alone should help us to have victory over our temptation. Now, I want you to take your little list. And again, verses, that's a wonderful thing. And other things. But write down all those names of different people it's going to affect if you give in. And how many. And I know we all blind ourselves. Well, this isn't going to affect anybody. Nobody's going to know. Listen to me. It's always known. You don't get away with anything. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You may think it. But then put way up there at the top in capital letters, God. And when you fool yourself from okay, my spouse isn't going to know, my kids won't know, nobody else is going to, when you've got yourself fooled from that, you can't get away from God. Because God sees all of it. And is he your companion? You say, yeah, preacher talks to, he looks like he's talking to somebody all the time. Yeah, he's my companion. You know, I think you're kind of weird. I think I'm safe. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I could, you know, if my arm could take it, I'd walk around like this all day long just to let you know I'm safe. Huh? It's true, but my arm's too weak. I can't handle that. But he is there. Is he there in your life? He should be there. All day, every day, all the time. That's, you know, the Bible talks, it says pray without ceasing. That's how you pray without ceasing. Just take him along with you. Better yet, go where he wants to go. Amen. Let him lead. And you just go along. And you will overcome and have victory over temptation. Number three, and this is so important. Number one, we saw his conscience. Number two, we see his companion. Number three, you're not going to believe this, but it's his choice. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to give us some kind of magic words to say so that we could just get out of this thing. Oh, no. Ultimately, it is our choice. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her to be with her. It came to pass about this time Joseph went into his house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and I love it, and got him out. He not only fled, he got him out. I mean, he fled and got him out. I don't know how you do both, but he did it. And he was in a hurry, and he made his choice. And that was the way he had to make his choice, too. He wasn't going to make his, you know, I've helped you, and you've helped me. Can't we just be friends? We're so stupid. Oh, listen. I don't want to do this. I this isn't right. But text me later. Hey, we'll chat later, okay? We can chat. That's safe. That's not safe. It's not safe. Some of you folks dating chatters, you know what? You're going to find out, some of you girls, you're going to find out they're 50-year-old women you're chatting with. Never mind. No, I know for sure. No, you don't. No, they sent a picture. We did it best in Vacation Bible School. Remember the one dude? What was his name? Billy Gates. How can you forget Billy Gates? And old Billy Gates, he had a chat room person, and it was the devil. Anyway. Ultimately, it's your choice. Now, you know, making the right choice is helped by our conscience and our companion, but ultimately, it's our choice. When you sin, you can't say, well, it was somebody else's fault. It was their fault. No. You made the choice. And he fled and got him out. Isn't that good? You know, Satan wants us to underestimate the power of sin. He'll you're strong. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Well, you can look at some of this stuff and it not affect you. Is that why God said flee youthful lusts? Whatever it is, get away. Look, if we stay in the presence of sin, we underestimate the power of sin. We need to understand that the dart to the liver, the ox to the slaughter, that's us. That's giving in to temptation. Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Make things so hard. It's kind of like an alcoholic who goes and buys a six pack of beer and puts them in the refrigerator. Well, I'm tempted, but I'm not going to give in. It's like the person who's hooked on pornography. And you know what you ought to do? The very best thing you can do, first of all, disconnect the internet. If that's not enough, throw your television and your computer out in the street. Somebody will pick it up. I'm serious. If it's ruining your life, get rid of the thing. You don't have to tell anybody that you're hooked. You just get rid of it and everything will be fine. I know it's not popular nowadays, is it? Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, it's like, okay, how can I make the right choice? Stay as far away. He fled and got him out. Had he done what so many do? Well, I like you. You're a nice woman. But let me try to counsel you. Kind of like the little boy, his dad told him not to go swimming, and his dad caught him coming out of the pond. And the boy said, "Well, I didn't mean to do it." And he said, "Well," he said, "son," he said, "why was your swimsuit on then?" He said, "Well, I wore it in case I was tempted." We do it. He's right here is the best advice in the world. And if you want to memorize a little portion of Scripture, how about this? Fled and got him out. And the next time, flee and get out. And that's the best thing in the world. Get out. Do not stick around. Look at Romans 13:14. We're just about done. I know you can't believe it. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Counseled years ago somebody that was an alcoholic and they said something about, well, I ate at such and such bar. I was in Bern, Haps Bar. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, man, you quit drinking. And, oh, yeah, but they have the best tenderloins. I said, then don't eat the best tenderloins. Get away from there. Don't make provision for the flesh. I mentioned the guy sat down with me years ago, sat down and said, look, I have a real problem thinking about women and I'm married and I've got a family and I don't want to think those thoughts and I think lustful thoughts. And I said, really? I said, well, when is it the worst? He said, well, it's whenever I'm at Pine Lake at the beach. I said, I got the perfect solution for you. I said, it's going to be so simple. He said, really, what? I said, don't go there. Guy said to the doctor one time, he said, my arm, he said, it hurts so bad every time I do this. The doctor said, I got the solution. He said, what? Don't do that. Amen. Two things and we're done. Number four is his comfort, verse 24, 21. And I love this. This is after. I mean, he's in prison now. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Some would go ahead and commit adultery knowing they were going to end up in prison. And, I got to do this. I have to do this. I don't want to go to jail. She'll lie about me. She'll get me in trouble. You know, I just got to give in to this thing. But you forget verse 21. And it's the same as verse 2. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, his comfort. And just like before, when he was tempted to be discouraged and quit and everything else, here he did right and he's in prison. But the Lord was with him. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We use it all the time. Excellent, excellent verse. You ought to memorize this verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now watch this. That ye may be able to bear it. You can live after that temptation. Hey, you can make it. I was tempted to get a lot of money. And you know, God's going to make it possible for you to live without all that money. Isn't that great? Oh, I was tempted to get into this relationship with this person. Guess what? Go ahead and do right. He'll make it possible for you to live without that situation. You can bear it. You can handle it. You can make it. Hey, Joseph, how's prison? I'm doing pretty well, really. God's taking care of me. God's with me here just like he was there. Amen. Able to bear it. You know, Satan, with every temptation, he makes it like, you've got to have this. You have got to do this. Hey, don't trust God. God won't make this happen for you. God won't provide for you. You've got to do this on your own. That's what it is. But God promises. He said, you go ahead and do right, and I will make it so that you're able to bear it. You can make it without that. His comfort. And then the last thing, number 5, is his complete victory. In verse 23, it says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And of course, later on, he became second in power only to Pharaoh. Had he committed adultery, he'd had none of that. Why? Because who blessed him all along? His companion. Who took care of him all along? His companion. Do you understand how much you get cheated every time you give in to some temptation? How much I get cheated every time I give in to some temptation? Temptations, they're not for our good. They're for darts to our liver. They are for being caught in the bird trap. They are for the ox to the slaughter. I mean, oh boy, this is a lot of fun. Yeah, that's what the ox thought until they clubbed him in the head. God knows what's best for every one of us. And if we would just understand that. Look, you say, preacher, you know, and I'll have people, they'll come in, they'll say, but you don't understand, I really want to. It wouldn't be a temptation if you didn't really want to do it. But you've got to learn. To build up those walls and your conscience. Feed the Holy Spirit. Feed the Spirit in you. Feed Him with the Word of God. Feed the Spirit and build up your spirit so that you're ready for that temptation. And your conscience is ready. So thoughts cannot invade that overwhelm you. And then take your companion along. And I'll be honest with you, you'd have a hard time. If Jesus Christ was actually right beside you, I think we'd all pretty much do right. It changed everything about us, wouldn't it? Amen. And get ready, because ultimately it'll be your choice. Because God gives us our choice. It's our choice.